Welcome to the NCEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight I have the honor and the privilege for the next 2 hours of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, we are in the overlap between the ending of the church age and before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. Our dispensation is coming to a close, it's coming to an end, and the dispensation that is coming in right behind us is already beginning to appear on the horizon. Will we spend any time in the time of Jacob's trouble? No, the church will not, not even one day. But what we are seeing is we are seeing an unsaved world preparing to meet Antichrist. We're not going to meet Antichrist, but they are. And tonight we're going to talk about rightly dividing from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we're going to talk about what dispensations are. And as a very, very good point of reference, we're going to go back to the book of Acts. And we're going to look at the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts tonight. We're going to look at selected portions. And we're going to see exactly what it was like when the dispensation of the kingdom age closed and the dispensation of the church age began. And that is a very, very timely topic because here we are at the other end of the church age. And it's closing. It's coming to an end. We are the generation that will see the end of the church age. We are the generation that will experience, if you're saved, if you're born again, and you're alive at the time, you will experience the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And what comes after we go, we are already beginning to see. And these last 5 months have been an amazing, amazing time. And I can't recall any other period of time in my life that has seen such momentous change on a global scale, on a global level, not just here in America, but in every country around the world. We are seeing the Great Reset. And that's actually the topic of tomorrow's 12 o'clock podcast, is we're going to be looking at the Great Reset. And that is happening right now. And tonight, on this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at what the Bible says will be the conditions that will be present when the church age begins to come to a close, and the conditions that will be present at the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. One dispensation is closing and the other is slowly coming in. And we are right in the middle of the overlap between those two dispensations. On this program tonight, we will examine everything in light of end times prophecies in order to see exactly on the timeline that we're at right now. All dispensations in the Bible overlap with each other. And our dispensation is ending exactly as it began in Acts chapter 8 when it overlapped the end of the kingdom age. These are exciting times, but if you blink, you'll miss it. Tonight, we're going to show you the players and we're going to lay the cards of Bible prophecy, all 52 of them, straight up and on the table. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing on tonight's program. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and we thank You for Your mercy, and we thank You for everything You give us, Lord. There's food on the table, there's clothes on our back, and there's a roof over our head, and we are saved, and we are headed for heaven. And Father, we pray tonight that if there's anyone listening to this show tonight, either live or in the chat room, that something will be said that would lead a lost person to salvation. Lord, that would lead a lost person to You. And we know that we are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And nothing else. And we thank you, God, and we commit this time to you. And Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your blessing, your protection, and your provision. And we ask all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, this first song that I'd like to play tonight, I want to dedicate this song to my friend Scott Lyman and his whole family out in Pennsylvania. Recently, his wife Jill, who we've prayed for on this program multiple times, she's gone home to be with the Lord. And she was excited to go, but she was sad to leave her family. And can you just imagine what that would be to know that you're looking at the end of your own life and you're still alive and you're still living? And what would your attitude be? Her attitude was a great attitude. She was fully prepared to meet her Savior, and she was excited. She was excited to meet him. And that would be great if you could keep Scott and his, he has four or five children, if you could keep them all in your prayers. And it's a sad, happy thing when a loved one, when a spouse, when a child goes home to be with the Lord. We are happy for them, but we're sad for us. We're sad that we miss them. But we know, what does the Bible say about death? The Apostle Paul, he addresses this directly in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is what Paul talks about for people who have lost loved ones. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So this song called Rise Again, I would just like to send this out to my good friend and my brother in Christ, Scott, and his kids. And brother, we're happy that Jill is home, and we're sad for your loss. And we rejoice in the fact that we're all going to be reunited again at some point. Hang in there, brother. We're praying for you. And bury me Amen. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do if we are believers in Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 11, the amazing story of Jesus and Martha talking. Read it with me in John chapter 11, and let's start reading in verse 17. You all know the story, Jesus, and he comes to see Lazarus after he had been dead for 4 days already. And his sister Martha, she had a few things to say to Jesus. Let's read the account of this amazing, miraculous resurrection. John chapter 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain, Lazarus, in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth and liveth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. How about you tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the one that should come into the world? The one who was laden with our sins on the cross? He who knew no sin became sin for us? He took it upon himself to be crucified, died, and buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Do you believe that? That's the qualification for salvation. That you believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and buried, and rose again on the third day, and paid his shed blood as the pardon for your sins. If you're not saved tonight, I hope that you believe that. I hope that you'll believe that during this program and you'll let us know that you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have had a surprising number of people over the last couple of weeks pray to get saved right here on this program. If that's you, let us know. C.T. Studd said, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last.
Would one day walk on water. baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary knew. Mary knew because the angel Gabriel came to her and told her. And Mary was faithful, and Mary was an amazing woman, and she was an incredible child of God. But you know what? Mary was a human being just like me and you, and she responded to the leading and the urging of the Holy Spirit just like me and you are supposed to do. We can be like Mary. Not in the Roman Catholic sense, but in the human sense that Mary was a living, breathing, flesh and blood human being just like any one of us. But what was different about Mary is that she had a heart that was completely and totally sold out to God. And when the angel Gabriel told her what the plan was, she consented immediately and wholeheartedly. Mary is a great example of how we should be living our lives for the Lord. Now, I said just before I played that song that if there was anybody here who wasn't saved and who wanted to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we had someone send a message in the chat room while that last song was playing, and say hi to June, everybody. And June wants to trust Jesus Christ for salvation, and I would love it if everybody would pray for June right now, June Park. And June, if you're listening, you are listening, pray along with us. And we're not saved by any prayer that we say. We're saved because Jesus Christ went to the cross. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 5, verses 8 through 10 say, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift June up to you. And we ask you, Lord, to work and move in a mighty way and hear June's prayer for salvation, Lord. And meet there, Father God, and work and move and show yourself. And we ask it as a church family. We ask you, Lord, that you would save June right now, completely and totally, by the authority of your shed blood, Lord, by the authority of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, who was crucified, died and buried, and rose again on the third day with victory over sin and death and hell. It says in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said unto him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Father God, we just pray. We pray that you would save June. And we pray, Lord, that you would work and move in a mighty way. And we thank you and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. June, we were all praying for you, and I hope that you were praying for yourself. Send me an email. You have my email address, info@nowthenbegins.com. I want to send you out a King James Bible, and I want to rejoice with you. And if you have time, I would love to get on the phone with you and have a conversation. But we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for bringing June here to this place and this time. And we are so excited, Father, to add another one to your family, Lord. And your word says that one plants and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. June, you are saved by the blood of the crucified one. Welcome to the family. saved by the blood of the crucified one. If you're saved, that's the only way you got saved in the church age. And it says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's how you get to join the family of God. You've got to come in at the cross of Calvary. You have to look up and see Jesus bearing your sin and my sin on that cross. Looking up towards the heaven and saying, "Forgive them, Father." That's how you and I got saved. When that blood was shed, that paid the penalty. That paid our debt. It's been well said that Jesus Christ paid a debt that he did not owe, because you and I have a debt that we cannot pay. And thank God that Jesus went to the cross and he did not shrink from that ugly, ugly task of having to be saddled with my sin and your sin and have to pay a debt for something that he never did. And the Bible says that he was crucified and scourged and mocked and he was beaten and he was bruised and whipped and beaten more badly than any other man. And he was the one who created the same people who put him to death. Isaiah chapter 53. Starting in verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that's where we are tonight. We are standing on an absolute precipice. We are watching the New World Order rising. We are seeing the church age coming to an end. And yet there are still people who are having their ticket punched for Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. June, tonight, on this program, just moments ago, prayed to get saved and join the family of God by faith. The Bible says to neglect not the assembling together of ourselves, and so much more as we see the day approaching. When we have these radio Bible studies, as we call it, we are assembling. This is a global assembly of the body of Christ. This is a church meeting. This is a worship service. This is a Bible study. And I'm just so glad that God makes these things possible for all of us who may never see each other face to face in this life. We can still fellowship together and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and open up that King James Bible where God has preserved his word, and we can hear from him just like the apostles did 2,000 years ago, even while the Bible was still being written, because the book that we have is the same book that they wrote, wonderfully and beautifully preserved. And with that, it is time for tonight's Bible study. Glad you're with us.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God! What if his appearance occurred on a Sunday morning. My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time tonight as a church family, and we ask you, Lord, to meet with us and to bless us with your word and with your presence, Holy Spirit. We need you. We want you. We love you, Father God. And many of us have been walking with you for a long time, some of us for a very long time, and some of us, like June and Donna and Colby, have been walking with you just recently. And we thank you and we praise you, God. You're giving us a harvest. You're giving us this mini revival. And Lord, we rejoice seeing all these people who are coming to faith in you through this Bible study program. And we pray that it continue, Lord. We pray that the harvest continue. And we pray, Father God, that you continue to work and move in a mighty way. And Lord, I see in the chat room, I see so many people, they have needs, and parents who have lost children, and spouses who have lost the other spouse, and people who have lost relatives and friends who have died recently. In my own life, in my own family, we have suffered a tragic death just a few weeks ago. And, Lord, we just come before you. We're humbled, Father God. And your word says that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And, your word tells us to think on good things, Father God, and to think on things that are pure and just and holy and right and true. And, Lord, we just ask you to meet with us tonight. Your word says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we ask you, Lord, to meet with us tonight. Bring to my mind everything you want me to talk about, everything that I've studied. Take from my mind and make me forget what you don't want me to talk about, Lord. This is your program, this is your ministry, and this is your show, Lord. This is your Bible study, your Bible, and you're the author, Lord. We ask you to meet with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. And we're very, very glad that you're here for this Sunday night edition of Rightly Dividing. We're talking about a big topic tonight, and we're talking about a subject that it seems to confuse a lot of people. People don't understand. Some do, some don't. A lot of people don't understand that God wrote the Bible dispensationally. Dispensationalism is not a heresy. It did not start with John Nelson Darby or C.I. Schofield. That's nonsense. God wrote the Bible dispensationally. Now, the word dispensation appears in your King James Bible four times. And just coincidentally, of course, is all four times are written by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:17, Paul says this, talking about preaching and talking about the ministry. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians 3:2 says, If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. And then Colossians 1:25, Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So, four times the word dispensation appears in the Bible, and four times it's written at the hands of our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Now, turn to Acts chapter 1, and I want... Now, we've studied this before, but you can never go over any part of the Bible too much, because you learn something new every single time. I know I do. I've been reading the King James Bible for 29 years, and I learn something new every time I open it up. This morning, our pastor was preaching on Genesis chapter 6 and talking about the faithfulness of Noah and going over all those verses. We read the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 6, and God showed me things I had not seen before. And I've been reading Genesis chapter 6 for nearly 3 decades. And if you are a Bible believer, if you're a student of the Word of God, you will get something every time you open the book. Because that's just the way it is. Now, you better make sure that you have the King James Bible. We are not ashamed that we stand on the King James Bible. We don't just use it, as some groups do, because they want to give themselves a cloak of authority. They want to say, see, we use the King James Bible, like the Mormons. The Mormons use the King James Bible, but they don't believe the King James Bible, because if they did, they wouldn't need the Book of Mormon. So, there's lots of people that use the King James Bible. We don't just use it, we believe it. It is our sole source of authority. And I know that that makes some people mad. And I get nasty emails, and people call me narrow-minded and a fundamental and whatever else that you can call people who believe what we believe. But it's the truth. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who shall say unto him, What doest thou? Do you have the word of a king? I do every time I hold the King James Bible in my hand. I have a heavenly Bible translated under the authority of an earthly king by the authority of a heavenly king. And you just can't beat that King James Bible. So, in Acts chapter 1, we read that the apostles are talking with Jesus, and Jesus is getting ready to go back up to heaven. And let's take a look at the first 6 verses of Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So this is what the apostles are looking for. They're not waiting for heaven. They're waiting for the kingdom to come to them. They're not waiting to go to heaven. So the first thing that you have to understand about the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts, the apostles and the disciples were waiting for the king to come back, because that is exactly what the Old Testament said would happen. That's exactly what the prophets had said was going to take place. And we read in the book of Zechariah, turn to chapter 14, keep your finger in Acts chapter 1. We will definitely be coming back there. But in Zechariah chapter 14, let's take a look at verses 1 through 4. Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 4. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That's Luke 21. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And here it is, the return of Jesus Christ. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and a half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. So, here you have what the apostles, go back to Acts chapter 1, and they say in verse 6, when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here you have in Acts chapter 1, this dispensation is what I call the kingdom age. Because what are they waiting for? Exactly what they asked him for in verse 6. Lord, wilt thou at this time, right here, right now, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So this is what they're waiting for. And so Acts chapter 1 is not the start of the church as we know the church. Acts chapter 1 is the start of a gathering of Jewish believers, and the church that they had was 100% Jewish. There were no Gentiles anywhere, as we're going to see when you turn the page to go to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, let's take a look at the first five verses of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost, we're in Acts 2, 1 through 5. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look at verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So, this church that God is about to add thousands of people to was not the church that the Apostle Paul would say was made up of Jews and Gentiles and bond and free and male and female. This church is all Jewish, and this church is a kingdom age church. They are not waiting for heaven. They're not waiting for a rapture. They are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. They are waiting for the king to receive his kingdom. And if you look down Acts chapter 2, let's go down all the way to the bottom. And since this topic usually makes people mad, let's make some people mad. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read 36 through 38. Acts chapter 2, 36 through 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, Jewish people, and to your children, Jewish people, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, if you're listening to the preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2, and you like to read the Bible, you know that this sounds very, very much like what John the Baptist preached. And John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But he wasn't saying that Jesus was going to be crucified, died, and buried, and rose again on the third day. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, John the Baptist was announcing Jesus Christ, and he baptized people in a general sense, and he preached a national repentance, which is exactly what Peter is preaching here. He is preaching a national repentance. And that's why he says in verse 38, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You didn't get saved that way. I didn't get saved that way. I didn't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I got saved, the Holy Ghost indwelt me, and my body became the temple of the Holy Ghost. That is very different from what is happening here in Acts chapter 2:38. These people are told to be baptized in order to receive remission of their sins. You and I don't do that. We get baptized after we have received pardon and forgiveness of our sins. Now, Hunter has a question. What should I do with my old NIV Bible now that I have a King James Bible? I can't bring myself to throw it away. Well, Hunter, actually, I think you can. And let me show you why you can take your NIV Bible and you can throw it in the trash. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. We have some questions tonight. Athena is asking, do you have to be baptized to get to heaven? The answer is no, but I'll come back to that in just a minute. I'll come back to that question. That's a really good question. You do not have to be baptized to go to heaven, and we will look at that in just a second. But we have a, Hunter has a question, and Hunter asks, what should he do with his NIV Bible? Well, let's take a look. Revelation 13, verse 1 in the King James Bible says, And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That's what it says in the King James Bible for Revelation 13, verse 1. But when you turn to what the NIV says, for that exact same verse, we read a completely different story. Instead of John standing on the shore of the sea, we see somebody else in his place. Revelation 13, verse 1, and Jeanette is going to post these verses back to back so you can see it in the chat room. But Revelation 13, verse 1, in the NIV, the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. That's funny. I thought the King James said John stood on the shore of the sea. So there you have, Hunter. There is a whopping, glaring mistake that is faithfully preserved within the pages of the NIV Bible that I like to call the not inspired version. And I'm going to show you why I call it the not inspired version Bible. I'm not just being mean. I'm not a mean person. But this Bible is a bad Bible. And it's filled with errors and mistakes, like the one that I just read to you that makes it makes John the devil, because when it translates that verse, the NIV says that John is the dragon and the dragon is Satan. I'm putting a link into the chat room right now, and this is an old article that I did, but I've updated it, and this shows you the huge discrepancy between the King James Bible and the NIV Bible. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. Matthew 9:13 in the King James. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:13 in the NIV says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. There's no repentance. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And it's telling us that Jesus was sacrificed for me and you. 1 Corinthians 5:7 in the NIV says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Doesn't mention the for us part has been taken out. John 6:47 in the King James Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47 in the NIV says, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. The on me part has been taken away. Here's a good one. Mark 11:26 in the King James Bible. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:26 in the NIV is not there. It is missing. So, your question, Hunter, is what do you do with your NIV Bible? If it were me, I would throw it in the garbage. I would recycle it. That paper could be recycled to make King James Bibles. But that's what I would do with it. The NIV Bible is, to me, and I've investigated it for years, for decades, the NIV Bible is not a Bible as far as I'm concerned when you compare it to the King James Bible. Now, Athena had a question, and she wants to know, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? Well, turn to Acts chapter 8. Turn to Acts chapter 8, and let's take a look at the very first, we're kind of getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but let's look at the first Gentile believer in the entire New Testament who believes on Jesus Christ and gets saved. Acts chapter 8, and let's look down where Philip is dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, it's interesting, all these Black Lives Matters riots are going on now, and this country is being ripped to pieces through a race war. And isn't it ironically funny that the very first person in the New Testament who's not Jewish to get saved is a black guy? I've always found that to be, I think that's fantastic, right? The very first Gentile to get saved is a black guy. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care what color your skin is. He wants to know, is your soul clean or is it dirty? Are you saved or not saved? Are you lost or are you found? God only sees two types of people. God sees lost people and he sees saved people. That's what God sees. And here we have in Acts chapter 8, Philip is dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch. And let's read, starting in verse 30, Acts chapter 8, verse 30, and we're going to read down to verse 39. Acts chapter 8, verse 30 through 39. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandeth what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. He's in Isaiah 53 that we were reading earlier. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So you see what Philip's doing? Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus from chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. Isn't that amazing? You don't even have to have the New Testament to preach Jesus to people, because here's Philip in Acts 8, and he's opening up the Old Testament and showing the eunuch about Jesus. And so they have this great Bible study. And verse 35 says, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, Now, Athena, here's your question. Athena asked, Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? They came to a certain water, verse 36, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? So what is the eunuch asking Philip? He's saying, Well, wait a second. We just had a Bible study. I believed everything that you told me. What's stopping me from getting baptized right now? And Athena, look at what Philip says in verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, when people get baptized in the New Testament, in the church age, which is our dispensation, baptism, Athena, is an outward sign of an inward change. If you don't get baptized, that does not stop you from going to heaven. But, like what we were reading in Acts chapter 2, Peter seemed to have a different gospel than Paul would have. And when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the different gospel that Peter had that we read in Acts chapter 2:38, and we're going to compare that to some passages in Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to see that Peter and Paul, well, their gospels were not 100% the same. They differed a little bit, and we're going to look at that. When we get back, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in 3 minutes and 6 seconds. We still have a whole another hour to go. Stay with us.
Once I wandered in sin's black, there was no way to make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord. The march of
Amen. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. And round here, we love to talk about the blood. We love to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the name that is above all names. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do that right here, right now. And June did that tonight. And we rejoice in that news that another one is added to Flight 777 before it's time to take off. And I know that the doors of that flight are closing, but God in His mercy and in His grace is still allowing a few more passengers to get in. And I am very, very glad that that is still happening. I am very, very glad that God is still using this ministry as a lighthouse for people. And so we just rejoice. Now, I had told you on the Friday program, for those of you that listen to the Friday afternoon Prophecy News podcast, I had told you that I would have a big announcement to make, and I think now is as good of a time as any time. And the announcement that has been, this actually happened a few weeks ago, and I have been kind of holding it in and kind of getting all the loose ends together. But the announcement that I have for you guys tonight is a really, really exciting one. Most of you know that we have a fundraiser to raise money for Now the End Begins to keep this ministry alive and going, and a lot of you donate to that. A lot of you send me money for the free Bible and Gospel Tract program, because we give Ruckman Reference Bibles out for free to anybody who asks for one. And if they can't afford it, people send in money so that, and those Bibles are not cheap. They're $25 a piece, and they cost $8.40 to mail out in America. And outside of the country, it's two or three times that amount per Bible to be mailed. But you guys have been funding it and been paying for it. So let me tell you what the big news is right here, right now. So many of you have gotten together and you have told me that your desire, We have been talking about a recording studio for quite some time, and I tried to put one together a couple of years ago, but we went through the first hurricane, we went through the second hurricane, and it just was not the right thing at the right time, and God just shut it down. But it's always been my desire to have a physical location where we can do the podcasting, we can do the studio, we can have a mini little warehouse for the Bibles and the tracks for this Bible and track program. So the news is that we have obtained a location, and we are in the process of building the NTEB King James Bible recording studio and we will be doing all the podcasts from that studio, and it has enough room. A section of this location is going to be dedicated to the free Bible and tract program, because you people said that you want it to get bigger, and you've sent the money in, and now we are building it. And as we build, I will post photos, I'll do articles, I'll let you see exactly what your money is building. But it is exciting, it is fantastic, and we're going to be doing live Bible studies from this location, and it is just truly an answer to prayer, but it could not be done without you guys. The reason why we have a free Bible and track program is because you people pay for it, and you give me the money, so I do it. And Jeanette does it, and Lori does it, and I do it, and our little ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. So I want to thank every one of you who send in, who donate to Now the End Begins to keep us on the air. And now, this is something that I always promised, that if the Lord opened the door, we would have a recording studio and a place where the Bibles are sent out for free, and now we have it. So thank you very, very much. Please keep praying. Please keep sharing our links. Please keep giving. We need it. And I want this thing to get as big as God wants it to be. Shea Caster is saying, Paul Wilbur live in the studio. Wouldn't that be great? He just lives one town over in Jacksonville. And yes, yes, this new podcasting studio is going to be built so that I can have guests who stop by, and we can interview people, and it's just, wait till you see it, you're going to love it. It's so very exciting, and this is something that anybody who wants to come visit, you are 100% welcome. It's an actual brick and mortar location, and it's right here in St. Augustine in Florida, and so that's the big news. And I wanted to share that with you guys because it's possible, because God's people are giving to take care of the need. And we are expanding the free Bible program. We are expanding the free gospel tract program. And it's because you are giving us the resources to do it. And I just want to thank you guys personally. And yes, there will be pictures. Estevic says, will you have an NIV store there? Yeah, it's called the dumpster. That's where the NIV store will be. And hopefully Hunter will take his NIV Bible and throw it in the garbage. But I'll be happy to send you, Hunter, a Ruckman Reference Bible if you'd like one of those, because that is part of our free Bible and tract program. If you're listening right now and you would like a King James Bible and you can't afford one, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com, because there are Christian brothers and sisters who have made it possible for me to have a room full of these Bibles to send to you. The Bible is paid for. The shipping is paid for. All you have to do is give me your email address and your physical address, and we will send you out a free Ruckman Reference Bible. Just let us know. We're very, very happy to do it. And I'm seeing that a bunch of you in the chat room are saying that you can come to St. Augustine, and I welcome it. I want you guys to come, and I'm actually hoping to do live Bible studies inside this studio, and maybe we can set it up so that I can be talking with them in the studio at the same time that I'm talking with you guys. And maybe there's a way that I can smoothly do that so that there will be live people in the room for the Bible study that I'm having around the world over the internet. So the possibilities are endless. But what does Jeremiah 33:3 say? One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Back to Acts chapter 2. I don't want to get off the subject there, but that's big news, and I wanted to share it with my family, because I am so happy about this, and I have been doing something every day for the past couple of days, past couple of weeks, to get ready for this, and it is exciting, and you are going to love it, and I hope that a lot of you will come to St. Augustine and visit the studio and to see exactly what God is doing, to see the free Bible program. And if you have time, you can help me pack up some of these Bibles, take them to the post office, and ship them out. I would love to have the help. Back to Acts chapter 2. Back to Acts chapter 2. We can't forget that we're here for a Bible study. Back to Acts chapter 2, and let's take a look at what's going on. Peter said in verse 38, what did he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did Paul say in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? Paul said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is it that Peter had one version of the gospel, and Paul had a markedly different version of the gospel? Well, the reason for that is that Peter was the leader of the church when it was a Jewish church. Everybody in Acts chapter 2 is Jewish, except for the proselytes who are Gentile. But what type of proselytes are they? They are proselytes to Judaism. So even though that they're Gentile, they are there not to be part of the body of Christ. They are there to follow what the Jewish believers believe, because this is the dispensation of the kingdom age. It is not the dispensation of the church age. So it is from Paul that we understand that the mystery of the saved believers in the body of Christ, the mystery of the church, the mystery of the pre-tribulation rapture, the mystery of eternal security, the judgment seat of Christ, the mystery of the future restoration of the Jews, and that will happen for them in the time of Jacob's trouble. All right? So we see that Peter, when he's preaching in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching the kingdom of heaven. He's preaching, and they're waiting for Jesus to return as king and to set up the earthly kingdom in Jerusalem on the throne of David that the Jewish people have been promised throughout all of the prophets of the Old Testament. But now we get past that, we get to the Apostle Paul, and what do we read in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27? Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, I want you to look at the first couple of words from Romans 16:25. And what is Paul saying? He's saying this: Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Why doesn't Paul say according to our gospel? Why does Paul say my gospel? Because his gospel, he's not an egomaniac. He's not bragging. Why does Paul say my gospel? Why doesn't he say, if they're all working for the same cause, and if they're all preaching exactly the same thing, doesn't it stand to reason that Paul would say our gospel? Because he knows that Peter's working for the gospel, John's working for the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're working for the gospel. So why is Paul the only one, and he says it three times, Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Romans 16:25 that I just read to you. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And Romans 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, the reason why Paul is saying my gospel, because he's telling you that it is not the same as Peter's gospel. And what we're talking about tonight is that the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, it was the kingdom age, and they were waiting for Jesus to return and to establish the kingdom from Jerusalem on the throne of David. But that didn't happen. Turn to Acts chapter 7, and I'll show you why the kingdom age was put on hold. It was put on pause. Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen. And Stephen is preaching, and Acts chapter 6 says that he was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was approved in all signs and miracles and wonders. Stephen was a very special person. And Stephen was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 7, he gives his defense. When they say to him in verse 1, then said the high priest, are these things so? And then he lets her rip. Acts 7:2. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan. So he goes on and on and on, and he preaches and preaches and preaches, and he burns the place down. And how does Acts chapter 7 come to an end? Well, the Jewish people in Acts 7 are being given another chance to get it right. In the Old Testament, they rejected the witness of God the Father, and they had to put up with 400 years of silence from the end of Malachi to the start of Matthew. Then they rejected God the Son, and they put him to death on a cross. And what did they say when Pilate said, would you like for me to release unto you Barabbas or this man Jesus? And what did they say? They said, we have no king but Caesar. Give us Barabbas. And let his blood, the blood of Jesus, be on our heads and on our children and their children. And so it absolutely was. And then here in Acts chapter 7, the Jewish people are being given one more chance to get it right. And they rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected God the Son in the Gospels. And now here is God the Holy Spirit, and he is preaching through Stephen. How do I know that? Because in Acts chapter 6, what do we read? Verse 5, and this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And then Acts 6:8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen is filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 6:15, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So when Stephen starts preaching, in Acts chapter 7, Acts 6 has already told you the Holy Ghost is all over Stephen. And as he opens his mouth, the Holy Ghost is preaching through Stephen. Now, you would think if that was the Holy Ghost preaching, well, there should be a revival, right? No, there was not a revival. Look down at the bottom of Acts chapter 7, and let's see what the reaction by the Jewish people to Stephen's preaching was. Let's start reading in verse 51. This is Stephen, and it's the Holy Ghost preaching through him. And he says in verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye now have been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? Now this is their reaction, verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, the fourth time that you're getting the certification of Stephen here, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What is happening? This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 6 told you three times that Stephen was a man who did signs, miracles, and wonders, and he had the face of an angel, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here, Acts chapter 7 tells you again that he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And now, he is preaching this amazing, amazing sermon. And all that the Jewish people have to do to receive the kingdom, to receive the king, they said in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, guess what? Seven short chapters later, they get their chance. All they have to do is repent and believe at the preaching of Stephen and receive the message from the Holy Ghost, and Jesus will return right here, right now. Acts 7:56. 7:55. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right, standing. He's not sitting anymore. He's standing, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And Stephen says, hey, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And here's what the Jews did. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So what is happening here in Acts chapter 7? It is a whole lot more than just the martyring of Stephen. It is the rejection of the preaching of the Holy Ghost. Heaven closed up. Jesus sat back down. And now what we have is the church age. And now in Acts chapter 8, Athena had a question about baptism and heaven. And we went to Acts chapter 8 and I showed you the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch under the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Philip. and how the Ethiopian eunuch, a black man, is the first Gentile to get saved in the church age. And the dispensation of the kingdom age, Acts chapters 1 through 7, is now, I don't want to say it's over, because the time of Jacob's trouble is going to finish what those first seven chapters of Acts started. So it's not that it's over, it was put on pause, but it's been a 2,000 year holding pattern. And the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, is what is going to take that time, the kingdom age, and it's going to take it off of pause, and it's going to restart the clock. And the seven-year period of the time of Jacob's trouble, half of which is the three-and-a-half-year period of the Great Tribulation, that is going to start as soon as the church is taken out. Now, Cheryl says, what would have happened to the Gentiles had the Jews believed? That's a fantastic question. Here's the answer. There would have been no church age. What would have happened is that Jesus would have returned at Acts chapter 7, and there would be no need for John to write the book of Revelation. There would be no need for Saul to become Paul. And all these things that we think of as the church age never would have taken place, because Acts chapter 7 would have been the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Gabby says, the Jews would still have to preach Jesus' salvation. And that's exactly right. And what they would be preaching is what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But, as we see, they did not accept the preaching of the Holy Spirit through Stephen. They killed him. Jesus sits back down. Heaven closes back up. And now Saul becomes Paul, two chapters later, in chapter 9. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at the conversion of Saul. It's very, very important for understanding the church age. But I promised you that tonight's Bible study would be showing how the end of the church age is going to take place. And we're going to understand that by looking at the beginning of the church age, which we now have done. We have spent an hour. We have put the time in. Now we understand the difference between the kingdom age and the church age. So when we come back, we're going to look at the church age, which has been in existence for 2,000 years, with the gospel of the grace of God under the Apostle Paul. And that, believe it or not, accept it or reject it, that is getting ready to come to an end. And when we come back from this break, we are going to look at the end of the church age, which is going to be in our lifetime. Stay with us. The last half hour is going to blow you away. Don't go anywhere.
Dark of the midnight, have I opened my face, while the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place, near the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds the war, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds
me safe till the storm passes by. What a great prayer that is, and what a great segue into what's happening right now. And for those of you who listen to our weekly podcast program, and that's another thing, when we get this new studio up and running, we are going to be doing a 90-minute podcast every single day of the week, Monday through Friday. So I am very, very excited about that. And we are going to continue doing the Wednesday night Bible study and, of course, the Sunday night Bible study. But we will have the Prophecy News podcast 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from noon till 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we're very, very excited about that. And it will be really, really – I enjoy doing it from my home studio. But doing it from an actual studio will just make my job a whole lot easier. So please keep that in prayer. Thank you very, very much. But when we look at what's going on in the world today, what are some of the headlines that we've been talking about? I'll give you a sneak peek of what tomorrow's Prophecy News podcast is going to be about. Tomorrow, if you'll tune in at noon Eastern Standard Time, we are going to be talking about something called The Great Reset. And doesn't that sound like it's a title of a book by Jack Van Impe or maybe Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind series? Or maybe that sounds like a book title that Jack Chick, who did all those gospel tracks, that sounds like something that he would talk about, right? The Great Reset, the New World Order. Well, guess what? That title does not come from me. That title comes, and it doesn't come from writers of end times novels. The term The Great Reset comes from the United Nations. It comes from Bill Gates. It comes from the World Economic Forum. It comes from the elites that are in charge of everything. And tomorrow, I'm going to break it all down, and I'm going to show you how all of it, every single bit of it, is connected. Think about COVID-19. Think about the lockdowns. Think about the economic crashes, the mandatory mask wearing, the race riots that are going on right now, Antifa, ID 2020, Bill Gates, Black Lives Matters, Pope Francis, Chrislam, the Declaration of Human Fraternity. Think about all of that. And when you've wrapped your head around all of those things, now wrap your head around this. All of that is part of the Great Reset. It's all connected. It's all driving to the same outcome. Why do you think they locked the entire world down for 10 weeks so that they could raise unemployment, so that they could raise debt, so that they could do all these things to crash the economies? And that's exactly what has been happening. The stock market in America has risen by 4,000 points, but the unemployment level has gone up by millions. 1.8 million people filed on unemployment last week alone. And things are just absolutely out of control. But all of it is connected. COVID-19, the lockdown, the mask wearing, the race riots, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Bill Gates, ID 2020, the Immunity Digital ID Passport. All these things are to accomplish one goal. Southern Bell is talking about getting rid of the police department and defunding the police. Can you think of anything more idiotic and more stupid than getting rid of the police department? Last week, I told you, well, it wasn't last week, it was Wednesday, somebody tried to run me off the road, and they took two shots at it, and the second shot put me into the ditch. Well, when I got out of the ditch, what did I do? I chased that person down, I got on my phone, I dialed 911, and I sent the police to go pull that person over and to go talk with them. Can you imagine what life would be like with no police force? Can you imagine how bold and brave the criminals would be? People would be being raped in back alleys by the hundreds. Stores would be being robbed. They'd be held up at gunpoint. There would be, you think the looting is bad now with these race riots? Think of how that would be if there was no police force. Because at least now, when you have the rioters who hate the police, who are rioting, they know in the back of their mind that they're going to get caught. And a very, very good example of that is, and if you go to nowtheendbegins.com and you've been reading our articles, you know that I've been talking about a man by the name of David Dorn, who was a retired black police officer, and he was gunned down by Black Lives Matter's looters. He was a black guy who was shot by black guys, and he was just trying to defend a local business. And seven Black Lives Matter's looters, they took a gun and they shot him and they killed him. Now, they finally have made a couple of arrests, and they arrested a man by the name of Stephen Cannon, and he has been arrested in the shooting death of retired St. Louis police officer David Dorn. So it took them a couple of days, but they think they have found the Black Lives Matter people who killed David Dorn, who was a black retired police captain. But can you imagine what it would be like with no police at all? It would be absolute, it would be like that movie with Mel Gibson, Mad Max. It would be like The Matrix. It would be like any of those movies that show America after this apocalyptic war has taken place, and there's nothing but terrified people hiding in the ruins of burned out buildings. That is what would happen if you get rid of the police force, and that's exactly what they're starting to do. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about it tonight, because we will be talking about it tomorrow on our Prophecy News podcast, but suffice to say, the Minneapolis City Council members have voted, and they are going to defund and dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. This is a news bulletin that came out about a half hour before showtime tonight. They are beginning the process for defunding police departments. And so what does that have to do with the close of the church age? We are going to see some strange, crazy things before we get out of here in the rapture. And I have always believed that. I have always said that. We will not spend, because we rightly divide and we understand dispensations, we are not going to spend one single day in the time of Jacob's trouble. That is true. But if you think that we're getting out of here on flowery beds of ease, that we're just going to be transported out without some scars and bumping and bruising, well, you have another thing coming. Paul is our apostle, and Paul tells us that two things need to take place before the pre-tribulation rapture of the church can happen. There has to be a great falling away from teaching and preaching Bible doctrine. That's already taken place, and it gets worse every single day. And we see it all over the place. I did an article just 2 days ago, and this made a lot of you people mad. And let me just say a note about that. I don't like making people mad. I don't write articles to get an emotional reaction. I write articles because they're the truth and because the body of Christ needs to know what's going on. And you need to understand when there are phony people who pretend to be Christians. Part of what we do is we warn you about these fakers, these Laodicean imposters. And some of you get very, very mad, like this article that I did the other day that aggravated a lot of people. Pretend Christian Kanye West joins Black Lives Matter anti-police protests and scrubs his Twitter feed of nearly all of his Sunday service tweets. Now, look at the picture that I just posted of Kanye West. He's wearing a black hoodie. He's wearing a black mask. All you can see is just his eyes and the very top of his nose. And he's walking with Black Lives Matter with his hands in his pockets. And he looks like a gang member. A number of people were offended that I drew that conclusion of what I can clearly see with my own eyes. But let me ask you this question. Would you rather have me stay silent and say nothing? Or would you rather have me warning you and telling you that there are serious, serious problems and that there are fakers and there are imposters and phony Christians who are just trying to use you? Now, if you remember all the articles that we did about Kanye West and his Sunday service, and remember how he was for Easter time, he was at Joel Osteen's church, and he's making all these appearances, and Tyler Perry and Mariah Carey and all these things. And then he makes his money. He makes $250 million from the sale of his Sunday service album, whatever that album was called. And as soon as he makes his money, he disappears. And now, right? It was just a couple of months ago. Everybody was saying, oh, what a great thing it was. And Kanye West got saved. Really? Is that why he's marching with Black Lives Matter criminals? With a hoodie and a black mask and his hands in his pocket, looking like a gang member? And why he's donating a lot of money to Black Lives Matter, and he's removed most of his tweets about Jesus from his Twitter feed, and yet you want to get mad at me? Well, that doesn't insult me. It doesn't bother me. It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh because for all of you who believed his nonsense, and I didn't believe it from the very beginning, and let me tell you why I didn't believe it. There's one reason why I didn't believe it. Because salvation is being saved from the hell that you so rightly deserve. Salvation is not emotions. It's not happy feelings. It's not happy thoughts. It's not asking Jesus into your heart. Salvation is believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and having His shed blood pay your sin debt so that you don't have to go to hell. Kanye West never mentioned hell. He never mentioned those type of things that accompany a testimony of somebody who was actually saved. What his actual testimony was that he was in a hospital bed and he had a vision, and Jesus came to him and said, start a church. And some sort of just crazy story like that. But what it was missing, his testimony was missing a testimony of new life in Jesus Christ. He had a couple of the buzzwords, but he was just fooling people. And why was he fooling people? Here, this, listen to his testimony right here. This is Kanye West. This is his testimony.
I've seen him work miracles in my life. Work miracles in our life. You know, the devil presents so many flashy, shiny objects. I've seen everything that the devil could have showed you via TV, videos, car dealerships, jewelry, houses. And I tell you, nothing beats God. Nothing, nothing.
All right, that's about all I can take of that. But what was that that you just heard? There's another 6.5 minutes worth of that. And what was that that you just listened to? You listened to Christian entertainment. That's what that was. And if I would have played the other 6.5 minutes, it just would have gone on. And all it is he is appealing to your feelings and to your emotions, and he's tickling your ears. And when he's done, you think that you have heard this great testimony. And when you play it back, it's nothing but cotton candy fluff. No mention of hell, no mention of sin, no mention of salvation. It's just cheap Laodicean garbage. And if that's offensive, I apologize. But it's the truth. And I had somebody the other day, they got very upset because I connected Donald Trump with Chrislam and with the Vatican. Now, why did I do that? I did that because Donald Trump and his wife Melania, they went and they laid a wreath down on the graven image of Pope John Paul II, who the Catholic Church now says is a Roman Catholic saint. And people got mad at me because I dared to say that that's what Donald Trump did, but that's what he did. Now, I understand he's the president, and I understand that the president has to be president of all people. I get that, but maybe it's just my cynical, suspicious nature. But when Donald Trump went to the shrine of St. John Paul II and had a private church service inside and laid a wreath in front of the man's statue, I call it an idol, and then went back to the White House, and he signed something called, what's the name of it here? There's an actual name to it. Advancing International Religious Freedom. And that's what Trump signed after going to the shrine of St. John Paul II. So, all I did in the article was I told you that's what Trump did, and he obviously was sending a message to the Vatican. And to do that and then go back and sign something called Advancing International Religious Freedom, which has been a pet project of Pope Francis. Well, I'm sorry, but if you connect all those things together on exactly the same day, if you're not suspicious, you should be. Why are you not suspicious of that? I didn't call Trump a bad guy. I didn't say he was selling out. I just simply said that he went to the shrine, he laid down a wreath in front of a graven idol, and then went back and signed something into law via his executive order that was a pet project of Pope Francis, who is in charge of Chrislam. But that's what we do at Now the End Begins. And we've been doing it since 2009. And guess what? We're not going to stop doing it. And am I going to vote for Donald Trump in November if we have elections? You'll notice I said if we have elections. Yeah, absolutely. Trump has my vote. At this point, I don't think there is anything that Trump could do to not have my vote. But my vote as an American citizen has very little to do with what I see when I open up the Bible and I read Bible prophecy and then I look at what's happening. Those two don't really have much to do with each other. And if you were smart, you would separate your patriotism from your belief in the Bible. Because when you merge those two things, one of those things is going to have to be compromised. So you can't be a Bible-believing patriot without compromising one or the other. So I keep those two things separate. I love America. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. I'm going to vote for him if we have an election. He has my vote. But that has nothing to do with what the Bible says about the end times. Now, we have about 5 minutes left. Let me wrap it up by saying this. We are watching the church age that started at the end of Acts chapter 7. We are watching it come to a close right now. Now, 2 hours ago, we prayed for my friend Jill, who passed away a couple of days ago, when we prayed for her husband Scott, and we prayed for their kids, who were left behind after she went home to be with the Lord. There may be some of us listening to this program right now, me included, who may die in the next couple days, weeks, months, or years. A lot of people who were in ministry when I started Now the End Begins are no longer living. And we have seen a lot of those funerals and homegoing services that we've had right here on this program. But barring that, we are the generation that is going to be raptured out of here. That is a fact. That is a guarantee. But the conditions that are going to be present in the world might be very, very, very bad conditions. And you see what's happening with the rioters and the looters. And over a dozen people have been killed already. And now they want to defund the police. And they want anarchy to reign in the streets. And if God doesn't show us mercy, that's going to be the condition as the church age closes and we get raptured out of here. So what are the people who are being left behind? What are they preparing themselves for? Quickly turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just have a couple of minutes, but turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is what happens to the people who get left behind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked, Satan, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Rejecting the gospel of the grace of God. They receive not the love of the truths, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause, rejecting the gospel, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is what the unsaved world is doing right now. They are preparing to receive the strong delusion. They are preparing themselves to receive Antichrist. And that is happening right now. Everything that you see with the COVID-19, the lockdown, the mask wearing, Antifa, Black Lives Matters, the burning and looting and rioting and all these things, the crashing of the economies and all these mind-numbingly crazy, off-the-charts things. That is the unsaved world with the New World Order rising up, and they are preparing themselves to receive Antichrist. And we are preparing ourselves to be removed out of here in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that's where things stand right now. So when you look at all these events that are happening and have been happening for the last couple of months, and not just in America, but they've been happening on a global level, this has never been the case before. What we are seeing is something very different, very unique, very new, but at the same time, it's also very old. Because it's been prophesied for 2,000 years that these days were going to come, and now they're here. And they're here, right now. This is not something that you have to wait to see happen. You are watching it happen right here and right now. The church age is almost over, and it's going to end with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And every single person who doesn't get saved, who is alive right now, and you say to yourself, how could they support these riots and Black Lives Matter? Don't they see? Well, the answer is no, they don't see. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the kingdom of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And if you're not saved, you are going to fall for a lie now, and you're going to fall for the strong delusion that comes after the rapture. And with that, we are out of time. We rejoice with June, who got saved tonight, and please be praying for him. And a lot of people getting saved on this program. God is doing something, and your support of this ministry and this program is so very vital and very important. God's not done. Even though that we're waiting for the rapture, we're not waiting with our hands folded. We are busy, busy, busy. And we're trying to get something done for the Lord. And when you donate, and when you contribute to the free Bible and tract program, when you buy gospel tracts, when you share our links, you have a part in this ministry, and you help it grow. There will be fruits for your labor at the judgment seat of Christ. And with that, I thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into this special program. Pray for June, who just joined the family of God tonight. We rejoice with that. And if you're free, if you're able, please join us tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, and we are going to be looking at something called the Great Reset. And man, oh man, oh man, is there a lot to talk about. So please join us tomorrow, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, at the Prophecy News Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this program. Please share it with your friends. And Lord willing, we'll see you right back here tomorrow at 12 noon. Good night, everybody.